From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of April 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Dave Dickey will be along with today's agricultural news. We'll hear about the ag weather forecast from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated and the folks at the Anderson's Logansport facility in Indiana, their ethanol production site. Will tell us all about the basis levels and the cash grain market in their area during this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. On this Wednesday afternoon, futures in the soft red winter wheat for the May contract at 703¾ settled a quarter of a cent higher. The July was down a half at 707¼. September futures were up a quarter at 713¾ in Chicago. The Kansas hard red at 747½, a settlement price there, down a quarter of a cent. Back in Chicago, from the corn pit, just one losing contract on the day. That was the lead option May. Futures there finished at 660½, a settlement price down 2¾. July corn on out were higher. The July at 641¼, up a half. September at 574, 7¾ higher. And December corn on its settlement, 547¼, up 6½ cents. The March futures, 557¼ for next year, up 6¼. Soybean futures now, May contract, 1422¼, up 10¾. July at $13.80, up 4¾. And the August soybeans at $13.31¾, 3½ higher. September futures, $12.62. Settlement price up a penny and 3/4. November beans at $12.18. The harvest month was down a half. January of next year, and the soybeans at $12.25½, a settlement price there, down a quarter of a cent. Bean meal at $4.07.30, up $6. Bean oil at $49.39. 41 cents higher. Live cattle finished the June contract at $121.82½, up $1.37½. The August at $122.22½, up $1.25. The May feeders at $140.90, 85 cents higher. August at $147.50, up $1.02½. And June lean hogs for the day at $90.35, $1.32½ higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon. In the May contract, $86.84 a barrel, down $1.88. Arbob gasoline or wholesale price at $2.73 2/10. That's down 4 8/10 of a cent. And ethanol trading at $2.47 7/10, 5 3/10 of a cent higher. The difference between those two is now 27½ cents on the spread between the Arbob and the ethanol. That's down 10 cents 1/10 for the day. And the natural gas at $4.20 6/10, up 4 6/10. Heating oil or diesel fuel, 6/10 of a cent, or rather 6 9/10 of a cent lower at $2.73 7/10. And the gold futures on the day lost $4.60 to settle at $1,382.20 an ounce. The U.S. dollar at 82.68. That's up 0.93 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Showers, some thunderstorms, that'll be likely. Cloudy, a high of 70 degrees on a southeast wind at 14 miles an hour, gusting to 20. The chance of precipitation this afternoon set at 70%. Showers and thunderstorms likely this evening. It'll be cloudy with a low of 63 degrees. Breezy southwest winds at 11 to 20 tonight, gusting to 25. A 70% chance of rainfall, and then tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms. Chance of precipitation tomorrow set at 90%. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain. Highs near 75 degrees on a south wind again, 21 to 24 miles an hour. Thursday evening, showers are possible, a thunderstorm or two. Chance of precipitation stays at 90%. And on Friday, a 40% chance of showers. Mostly cloudy, a high of 48. It'll be breezy Friday on a west wind at 20 to 23 miles an hour, gusting to 34. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of April, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, as usual for Wednesday afternoon, is Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon. Rainy noon to you too, Todd.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of a rainy, soggy afternoon today, tomorrow, maybe on Friday, again next week.
I guess it's getting old.
Yeah, maybe we should start there. Weather across the Midwest is causing some havoc.
Oh, my goodness gracious. We think we have it bad in Illinois, but we're not looking at anything that's really bad, I don't think, compared to the Dakotas and, and a lot of the plains. Today, Fargo is going to break a record that was set in 1881. They have not reached 50 degrees in the entire year of 2013. And last year, they were 50 degrees on the 5th of January. So they know they're not going to make 50 today. So they're breaking that record. And they don't expect them truly to reach 50, maybe even until next weekend. So resulting in the latest snow melt in the Red River Basin ever. You know, and this is just a scary situation because they have 20 to 30 inches of snowpack across all of the Dakotas, or North Dakota, northern South Dakota, western Minnesota, and if suddenly it begins to melt, they could probably have the most massive flooding that they've ever had. Because usually, what happens is it gets warm, it cools. That's not likely to be the case this particular year, and that was 20 to 30 inches. Average depth. Some counties were well over 30, but that was before the snows that are coming today and some of the moisture that's coming this next week. They said South Dakota, not likely to hit 60 until the 28th of April. Probably going to be a record situation there. And this next week, freezing temperatures in the hard red wheat plains. Interesting story I've got for you. Todd, one of our guys out in Kansas, they were 14 degrees for 18 hours, and it literally burned their wheat to the ground. And he had it checked out. It's still alive. The agronomist said, providing the halfway decent weather, it could even maybe reach the actual potential that it would have had before. But now with this next round of freezing temperatures coming in, he's just not feeling very, very confident about that. So even for us, you know, they're talking moisture for at least the next 2 weeks. So up in the Dakotas, possibly a month behind on planting is what they'll be.
Hey, I was thinking about that month behind just a bit. Will that mean they'll change the crop that they're planting, that more prevent plant might happen? What kind of things might happen with acreage, do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, of course, we always prevent plant is almost an expectation that you have, especially for the Red River Valley. But I do think that another issue for wheat, you know, for your spring wheats. It's also, an issue for corn because a lot of our expansion in corn acres was actually expected to come out of the Dakotas, Minnesota, and South Dakota. And I think this implies that if they do get on the land earlier, perhaps, or within reason, we'll probably see more bean acres come out of those areas. They seldom, if ever, put anhydrous on in the fall. So they have a lot more ability to be able to switch, perhaps, than somebody down in Illinois might have.
Well, we've spent a lot of time in other parts of the world rather than here, but I suppose it all has an impact on the kinds of marketing decisions that producers in Illinois, Indiana, across the Midwest, for that matter, should be taking at this time. Anything on your mind?
Oh, there's no question about that. We've been talking to our guys, you know, especially saying, hey, they're not thinking about switching just yet, but they may. And so we've just been saying, remember, you need to have added bean coverage then for 2013. If we see a large acreage switch, and we know we're probably going to see some down in the south too, we could see beans take off 50 cents or a dollar. And then if we have a good crop, it could be even worse. So I think that they have to really, really be concerned about that. You know, at the moment, old crop beans are being supported, of course, by continuing expectations for demand. And one of the areas that, Todd, we seldom talk about, aquaculture. And, you know, that is perhaps one of the largest expanding demand areas for beans, like in China, just the aquaculture, and I believe that that's going to be a continuing thing. So I think that'll support us in old crop. New crop, I really want everybody out there to be thinking about 2014 corn and beans using option strategies. And the reason I say that is because if you don't like the price we have, you can always get an in-the-money option strategy in place that gives you a better price, perhaps. You know, and we don't know what our input costs are going to be out there, but we've got to be looking at that. I know some people will probably say, well, there should be 48 cents a carry in the corn market, and there isn't. But we just, you know, this is called risk management. And we haven't got the ground. We haven't got anything planted for this year yet. But that doesn't mean that we can't still end up with a fantastic crop. And that would have implications for 2014.
And your option strategy would be to buy a put, which would essentially be a hedge?
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And I think there, too, you know, we have to think about the guys who are end users. At this point in time, we're still extremely tight on corn and extremely tight on beans, so they have to continue to be careful with their cash management. But in a case where we would start to really move down, let's say an old crop on purchases that they've already had, they should be buying a put to protect themselves from having paid too much for that grain. And so, you know, it's different trying to think as an end user versus just being a producer.
Hey,
but the market can be used for that, too.
Let's take a look at some of the outside markets. Gold's had a really rough week.
Boy, that's an understatement. You know, that was the largest single drop that we've seen in gold in 30 years. And I think it's interesting when you look at the thoughts behind the plunge. I guess I looked at it and said, okay, maybe they're concerned about some inflation. That makes sense. But one of the things I hadn't really thought about that came up was we were at levels where they became fearful that indebted nations were actually going to try and start to sell the actual metal. And why they decided they really wanted to plunge it, I'm not sure, but maybe they wanted to be ahead of the curve. But I do think it is an indication that some of your investors believe there's a recovery, you know, on the horizon, so gold would be less of a valuable asset. I mean, just think a year ago. What would have happened if we'd have had a bombing like the Boston Marathon a year ago? I mean, gold would have just gone through the roof, and it didn't do that at all. So I think this is an indication that in long term, they think things are looking better, and we are seeing inflation rearing its ugly head in Brazil and Argentina. In fact, Brazil announced today they're going to be raising interest rates. Last week, Argentina froze their fuel prices for the next 6 months, and they said that was in an effort to control inflation. Wouldn't you like to own a gas station down there?
Well, I don't know whether I want to own anything outside of the country, but maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, good heavens. Somebody just comes in and say, you can't raise your prices for 6 months.
Yeah.
Wow. It's kind of like selling to Sam's Club or Costco. I know a lot of clients who have been involved in that. And there, if you sell to them, you can't raise your prices for 6 months either. And that's why so many times you see one year they carry a product and the next year they don't.
Anything on the crude oil market that we ought to think about?
Well, you know, crude oil has really been in a slump. And a lot of it is related to London, and the London Brent crude actually broke the $100 mark, which it hasn't done in a long, long time. And I think that just caused an awful lot of long liquidation. But I believe that we will see OPEC fight to keep that, that intact. And we'll probably go back above 100 again, and then you'll see us stabilize, you know, probably in the 85, 86, 87 area, and then start to move higher. So I would anticipate that we'll be hearing from them in not too long.
Well, let's wrap up. Let's talk a little bit about livestock cattle and feed report is due out later this week. And we should be moving into a time frame where we're grilling out a bit more.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, I looked at the livestock market earlier this morning, and it looked like everybody's lips were on the ground, and because of the weather forecast, the grilling wasn't on. But I look at it now, and it's going, grilling's on, baby. We are going to be out there, and we're going to be doing this. And I think that they're just thinking that maybe we're going to get some additional demand coming out of that. And we do have cattle on feed report coming out Friday afternoon. Not too different than what it was last month, 93.9 on feed, 99.1 placed, and 93.5 marketed. And I think that 93.5 marketed is much more realistic than what we had seen last month when they expected much higher marketings. But hopefully it'll give us what we need. I think we've gone down far enough considering how short we are on cattle out in the countryside.
It's always good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Have a good one, Todd.
Hey, you too. That's Jackie Vanks. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joined us on the closing market report for this Wednesday afternoon. You can hear her again on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Dave Dickey is here now with today's agricultural news.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
In agricultural news, the federal government has started a new livestock identification program to help agriculture officials quickly track livestock in cases of disease. The program replaces an earlier voluntary one that failed because of widespread opposition among farmers and ranchers. The new program is mandatory but more limited in scope. It applies only to animals being shipped across state lines and gives states flexibility in deciding how animals will be identified. The International Monetary Fund is urging the Federal Reserve and other central banks to closely monitor their extraordinary efforts to jumpstart economic growth. The Global Lending Organization says in a new report on global stability that the policies could have adverse side effects, including excessive corporate debt, a stock market bubble, and risky investments by pension funds. The Global Stability Report was released in advance of spring meetings of the IMF and World Bank in Washington, D.C. this week. The Fed has said it plans to keep short-term interest rates at record lows at least until unemployment falls to 6.5%, and it is purchasing $85 billion a month in Treasury and mortgage bonds to lower long-term rates and encourage more borrowing and spending. China's government has promised to take steps to boost domestic consumption as a driver of the economy after growth dipped in the latest quarter. A cabinet statement issued today promised changes in medical, pension, and other policies, but gave no other details. China's economic growth slipped to 7.7% in the first 3 months of the year from the previous quarter's 7.9%. Bank of England officials considered new ways to boost the supply of credit for UK businesses in April, but remained divided over the need for more stimulus. Minutes of rate-setting Monetary Policy Committee's meeting of April 3rd and 4th, published today, showed the 9-person panel voted unanimously to keep the central bank's benchmark interest rate at 0.5%, and that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, on this Wednesday afternoon, let's check out the cash grain market. On the phone line with us from the Andersons in Logansport, Indiana, is Scott Butcher. Good afternoon to you, Scott.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Can you tell me how the ethanol plant is running at this time?
Actually, we're not running at all right now. We're in a scheduled maintenance shutdown. It's been scheduled for quite a while, and trying to go through things and make sure we can, or I guess maybe improve how we can run things here on out.
And how long are you shut down for?
Well, just a few days. We basically went down on Sunday, and we'll try to come back up here Thursday or Friday.
And what happens during a scheduled maintenance shutdown? What do you do?
Basically go through everything, do a lot of cleaning, you know, just check everything and make sure that things are working the way that they're supposed to. And, you know, because really the goal anyway is to run 24/7 when you are running. So you really don't have any downtime unless something breaks. You really don't have any time to check things and make sure that there's nothing wrong. So you do this, you know, week of downtime or whatever every year just to make sure that things are running the way they're supposed to.
And I know the elevator and the ethanol plant aren't particularly far apart, but how much storage is at the ethanol plant?
We've got around 3 to 4 million space here, so quite a bit compared to some other places.
And how much would you use in a typical day? Or the question is, how long would 3 million bushel last you?
About a month.
About a month.
Have, yeah, pretty close to a month.
And how are you doing on filling that up at the moment?
Really well. You know, actually, we're running pretty close to full right now. We are. We were closed the first 2 days of the week. Just because of the shutdown, we would have filled up pretty quickly if we weren't closed. Started taking corn again today, and we'll be really tight on space going into the end of the week. Probably a decent chance we have to be closed again Friday just because we are running so full on inventory right now.
Does the corn come in on a rail spur or truck or both?
Yeah, we just have truck here. We're not not running anything rail since we've been open. We have not taken anything by rail.
Okay, so everything, do you have a rail spur that goes out?
Yeah, we do have the ability just because we ship out a lot of the ethanol and the DDG product. A lot of it goes out of here by rail. So we do have that ability, just a little short on track space with all of that going on. So, you know, have not opted to dump rail at this time.
And I don't want you to give any secrets away, but where do each of those products head?
Really, all over the place. The DDG, most of it would go to the southeast, to the feeder market. You know, and then the ethanol, I couldn't even begin to tell you where all of it goes. I know a lot of it goes to the East Coast, but I think it does go to a lot of different places.
Tell me about basis for corn in your area, please.
Right now, you know, we haven't really seen much change. I mean, we're here at Climbers, we're 40 over the July, and, you know, a lot of the other places in the area are similar, you know, 30 to 40 over. You do have a couple of outliers in the Lafayette area, you know, still against the May and 40 over the May. So if you consider the 20 to 22 cent spread, that's a pretty good difference for the folks to the south of us.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn tonight were $6.81. Soybeans were $14.26.
Thank you so much. Scott Butcher is with the Andersons. He's at their Climbers and Delphi facilities there in Logansport, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back in just a bit. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast in about 3 minutes from now. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated will be with us.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's National Cheeseball Day. Legend has it that the cheeseball came about in 1801 when Elisha Brown Jr. created a 1,235-pound ball of cheese and presented it to Thomas Jefferson at the White House. On this day in agricultural history in 1629, the first horses were imported to the American colonies. Also arriving to the New World were sheep and goats. In 1790, Benjamin Franklin died. He was an American diplomat, publisher, and inventor. Among his inventions were the Franklin stove and bifocal glasses. He also published Poor Richard's Almanac. The publication appeared continuously from 1732 to 1758. The almanac contained a calendar, weather, poems, as well as astronomical and astrological information. The almanac sold as many as 10,000 copies a year. Over his lifetime, Franklin also helped establish a number of institutions that people now take for granted, including a fire company, a library, an insurance company, an academy, and a hospital. And in 1810, Lewis M. Norton of Troy, Pennsylvania, was issued the first U.S. patent for pineapple cheese. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on the phone line to take up the weather forecast. It looks like a soggy one. Drew, tell me about it.
It does indeed. Quite a temperature contrast setting up across the country once again. A big warm-up for the eastern part of the country with temperatures getting into the 80s through the eastern Midwest right before a strong cold front cuts through the region as we get into Friday. We are going to see on the other side of the front a lot of very cold air and another risk to hard red winter wheat country for some damage on Friday morning. We could very well see some more temperatures in the upper 20s down as far south as the Red River of the South that separates Oklahoma from Texas. And we could see temperatures below freezing a little bit further south in Texas. But anyway, the big contrast in air mass temperatures across the country sets the stage for a very significant amount of rain to fall. It's already starting to evolve in parts of the western Corn Belt. We've seen quite a bit of rain here earlier today, and it will be continuing as we go forward through these next 2 days. A lot of moisture for Missouri and Illinois, Indiana, portions of the northern Delta, even some neighboring areas in southeastern Iowa. These areas will all see 1 to 3 inches of rain easily, and perhaps some localized amounts over 3 inches, and it's going to cause some local flooding. We do have saturated or nearly saturated soil in much of this region, at least in the topsoil. And the moisture will be good for reaching down a little bit deeper into the ground in some of the western Corn Belt areas where we're still lacking that subsoil moisture.
Will that come along? Because it's a pretty good-sized cold area and a pretty good-sized warm area and with much in the way of a disturbance, or will these be rough storms or just drop a lot of rainfall?
Well, I think a little bit of all of the above. We are going to see some strong to severe thunderstorms evolve as we go from tomorrow afternoon into Friday morning. I may even see something strong occurring during the day tomorrow, but I think most of the intense storms will be tomorrow night. And they will occur from portions of southeastern Missouri and northern Arkansas into Illinois and parts of Indiana. We will see hail and some damaging wind and the local flooding. I can't rule out an isolated tornado or two. In fact, we could even end up with a little bit of a small breakout of tornadoes at some point, but we'll have to just continue to watch that real closely. Anytime you've got temperatures in the 80s on one side of the front and 40 and 50-degree readings on the other, it sets the stage for a lot of severe weather.
And speaking of setting the stage, we have not set the stage for widespread planting across the Midwest. Needs to dry out eventually and for soil temperatures to come up.
Absolutely, and we're not going to do it with the setup here for the next 7 days. Obviously, the eastern Midwest will see a bit of warming, definitely with a couple of 80-degree days coming up. It'll be much warmer there, but the central and western parts of the Corn Belt will not see nearly that kind of a rise in soil temperatures. We'll actually see them plummet somewhat after the frontal system goes through, and will only warm marginally over the course of the weekend, and yet another reinforcing shot of cold air will come on for the middle part of next week that will reinforce the chilly air. So the western Corn Belt, maybe areas as far east as Illinois and parts of northwestern Indiana, will certainly not see a significant warm-up in soil temperatures for a while, and we are going to be dealing with another rain event next week. So field work is going to be limited in many of those areas.
Drew, thanks so much.
Have a good afternoon.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. You can hear him again on our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.